Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the Chair Pro Tem, Bob Lederer, and Yosh Yamanaka, our Secretary. Would you please call the roll?
Yes. Wesley Bethune? Wesley?
Here.
Carolyn Burden? Carolyn?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Steve Brown? Tico Chassin? Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis? Anthony Fest?
Here.
Jan Goodman? Bob Lederer?
Here.
Ithia Wangaza? Leslie Radford?
I'm here.
George Ryder? Rob Robinson? Bonnie Simmons?
Here.
Yosh Yamanaka is here, and that makes 8, giving us quorum.
Thank you, Yosh. Okay, so we'll start with the proposed agenda. I'll read it, and then we can discuss it. After the approval of agenda would be the election of the chair and secretary if WPFW has elected their members of this committee, which I have not heard that they have, so I assume that'll be moot. Next is reminder of the next meeting date and the setting of the January meeting, 10 minutes. Review and approval of, I guess that would be the August meeting minutes for 5 minutes. A summary and follow-up of the discussion we had at the last meeting with Nick Herlick of the Memphis Company about any steps that we think should be taken to deal with membership lists. That would be, I would propose 10 minutes. Then report from our working groups, the first one about hiring outside organizations, and there's a motion to be voted on tonight with a draft for a request for proposals. I'm suggesting 20 minutes. Now, on the written agenda, I had suggested that the next one be the cutting election costs group, but actually I think what might be a little more pressing would be the third group, cleaning up membership listener membership lists. So I would propose that we flip those. So the cleaning up listener membership lists would be the second report at 15 minutes, and then the cutting election costs and for 20 minutes, and then the staff list for 15 minutes. Next would be the proposed bylaws amendment regarding the hiring of the national election supervisor and local election supervisors for 15 minutes. The motion on campaign finance reform for 20 minutes, and then under new business, the proposed election rules for 20 minutes. Are there any amendments or discussion on that? Oh, and with, I'm sorry, an adjournment time of 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
Well, I had sent through, Carolyn here, if I may.
Yes.
I had sent through a motion. I don't know if we want to put it up. I've sent it into everybody's email, but maybe we should add it to the... Note that there's a motion on D for staff lists. If we could move that up a little, I'd appreciate that, too.
Well, I think it fits logically under the staff list report, even though the group hasn't been meeting, but that's fine. So is there any other amendments to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, then is there any objection to approving it? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Okay, so we haven't heard from WPFW, so the question of officers' elections is still moot for the time being. All right, upcoming meetings. We had previously voted and will still go on with our next meeting being Monday, December 1st at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So the question is, would folks like to set a January meeting tonight? I think it might not be
a bad idea. What was the date of the December one?
Monday, December 1st. I realize that's a bit close, but that's what we had said a while back, I think before we had even set the November meeting. So
I have that down as the 8th. Am I mistaken? I thought it was the 8th.
Yes, Carolyn, you're mistaken. It's the 1st.
It was the 1st. Oh, dear.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so the floor is open for suggestions for the January meeting.
Some of us haven't bought our January or our 2009 calendars.
Ah, okay.
Well, my calendar covers 2009, so I can
good
tell
for you
that
yes.
The first Monday is the 5th, and the second Monday is the 12th. And
did someone just join us? Oh, I guess maybe someone left us. Go ahead, Yosh, sorry.
And I would suggest that we probably want to meet earlier in January, because probably later in January, it'll probably be an in-person.
Right.
I think Jack Van Aken of Governance or Coordinating Committee was thinking about an in-person either the last weekend of January, which would run into February, or the weekend before that. So that looks like the 23rd of January or the 30th of January.
Okay, well, let me float the idea of Monday the 12th. I think the 5th is a little too close to the whole New Year's time.
Leslie, back again.
Hi. Does anyone have a problem with the Monday, January 12th?
Steve Brown.
Okay, hi, Steve.
Hi.
Technically, I'm on vacation then, but I don't know if I'll be in town or not. So I guess it's as good as any other day.
Okay. Any other thoughts about Steve? We're discussing our January meeting date. I'm proposing Monday, January 12th. Well, if there's no objections, then let's go ahead and set that. Okay. So again, 8:30 Eastern, Monday, January 12th. All right, moving right along. Next is the review and approval of the August meeting minutes. Yosh?
And I'm sorry, I didn't get around to circulating the August minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I knew that. What I meant to say was September.
September was circulated or recirculated. I circulated it. Oh, shortly after the September meeting, and again earlier, either this morning or last night or something like that, and I've not had any feedback. I think the September minutes are probably pretty clean, and anyway, I've had no adverse comments.
Okay, does anyone have any comments? I read through them, and they're very thorough and very accurate as far as I can see. So thank you for your work on that.
Sure thing.
And let me just say for the record that much as I'm sure we all appreciate the detail, it's definitely not mandatory for minutes to have all of the he said, she said. So, you know, feel free to make it a little less heavy load for the next
time.
I'm
sorry, Bob. It's just my nature, you know.
Okay.
I just can't help myself. I wish I could cut corners, but it's really difficult. It cuts against the grain.
Okay.
We're happy to let you fulfill your better instinct.
Okay, any comments from anyone?
Bill,
yeah,
I just want to say thank you.
Okay, Bonnie?
Yeah, I actually am a proponent of actions taken for minutes rather than conversation. I know that we all are either not taking the time to read them or not troubled by them as they've gone, but I certainly have seen a number of times that in listing people's comments, if it has any kind of hot button quality to it, it can certainly become issue with people.
Okay, I don't believe that any of the gist of the discussions were hot button, but of course at Pacifica one never knows when one.
Yeah, I just meant in general.
Yeah.
But with that said, you know, thank you for your really detailed and good work.
Yeah.
This is not specifically directed in any way toward your minutes or the election committee. I the times that I've seen trouble come up have been in other situations.
Mm. Well, I'll see what I can do about trying to cut them down a little bit. So I'll work on that.
Actually, I'm sorry, Carolyn.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
I kind of like them because they remind me of a conversation. So I like them to summarize the conversations. But I know what Bonnie means, to have an action item somewhere that you can find relevant to the discussion if in case you forgot you were supposed to do something.
I will tell you that when I served as secretary in other groups, I sometimes put a to-do list at the very end of the list, and then it just lists action items and who's going to do what and by what date certain, if there is a date certain. And I can do that. I can try that.
Oh. Yeah, that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
And I would also echo Bonnie's sentiments, again, not in any way directed to you, Yosh, but just in general, that while certainly in these minutes there's no controversial issues, but, you know, it could happen at some future point. And then sometimes I've seen boards waste time on whether it was accurately characterized what person X was really trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it can get a little bit messy. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I understand you're trying. You're going to try to, you know, maybe just
pare it down a little bit.
Pare it down. Yeah.
There's a potential middle ground here.
Go ahead, Ann.
You could just say there was discussion of X, Y, and Z. It was suggested that X is better than Y, you know, without attributing specific comments to specific people.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can perhaps remember, oh, yeah, I said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jogs the memory without, you know, provoking, you misquoted me or something like that.
Okay, well, unless there's any other comments, can we just move, or can we go ahead and approve these minutes? Is there any objection to approval? Okay, hearing none, the September minutes are approved. All right, next we have both a summary and a follow-up on the discussion we had last month with Nick Herlick of the Memphis Company about the procedures for making sure our membership lists are as accurate as possible. So we didn't really ask anyone to prepare a summary, but is there anyone who would like to just offer some thoughts on, for those who may have missed the conversation, kind of any of the high points that struck you?
Well, Carolyn here.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll go after you.
No, please, Carolyn, because the only reason I spoke up at all is because I just finished a very rough draft of that 20 minutes ago, which is I'm too embarrassed to circulate. So I kind of, you know, distilled my raw notes into a typewritten form, but I think you're probably in a better position to report out.
Well, I'm not. I think mine were even more raw than yours.
Why don't I supplement whatever comments I've got, you know, that you've got?
I think the thing that struck me most about that discussion was that there's a lot to do with the lists, and we don't have a procedure for doing them. The fact that Memphis has five separate contracts makes it a little bit awkward because we don't know exactly what the issues are with each station. With regard to the lists, some of the issues I think that Nick mentioned are network-wide, but some are particular to one station or two. And I think if we could sort that out, we might decide, you know, what to do with it. That was the main thing that I came out to. I know we did talk about specific issues, and Nick was going to write some code to correct some problems. But some of the problems were with our bylaws and procedures, not with the MEMSIS. It's what we want implemented, not whether it can be done or not. So that we should be getting together at some point and discussing how to deal with that.
Okay, who else would like to address this?
I have a question, Bob. You know, as I said, after that lengthy discussion about minutes being too, he said, she said, I think perhaps in this particular situation with Nick Herlick, it might be helpful at least to have his comments, you know, distilled into written form.
Oh, absolutely. And maybe I wasn't clear enough before. I draw a distinction between reports or discussions with experts as opposed to debate on a specific motion. You know, this person said this person disagreed. You know, there, I think any kind of report is extremely valuable, as much detail as you have the energy to include.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I planned on some point earlier today going over the stream and cleaning this up, but I never got around to it, so I'll try to do it tomorrow.
That's fine. Okay, well, anyone else?
Yeah, this is Steve. We also have to deal with, I don't know if you dealt with this in the first 10 minutes before I came on. We had an issue as to how to calculate the beginning and end of a membership term. And I sent you a summary of some of the options we had the very night we finished our last meeting. And we were supposed to consider the options and make some decision about how we wanted the codes to be written in each of our MemSys programs for the stations as to how a membership should be calculated. If you remember, there's a difference between a membership starting at a particular date and memberships rolling over depending on when and if somebody contributed more money during the year.
Right, yes, we did discuss that at some length.
I did send an email.
Yes,
on the day of our last meeting.
No, that was helpful to kind of distill the issues. Now, are people prepared? We could talk about this tonight, but I think we should check that everyone has actually read Steve's email dated October 28th. Are there people on the call who have not read it yet?
I don't recall it, but, and I've had terrible email problems with corrupted, overloaded mailboxes, so I will check right now. October 28th?
I will send it again.
I would appreciate that very much. Thank you.
I'm quickly rereading it. It looked much better when I wrote it than when you read it, but I'll send it anyway.
Well,
this is Bill.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Not specifically about that, and thank y'all. Thanks for sending that information out, Steve. But I did talk to our membership person here at KPFT after we talked, and I mentioned that we had this, you know, conference call with Nick, and it was clear that she had never apparently talked to any of the other membership people at the other stations, and I was just thinking something that we could do for free if they have the time is somehow get them together and let them share what they already know of how they eliminate duplicates and things like that, and the other things that we talked about with Nick, and maybe they can help us come up with some uniform procedures also for handling these sort of problems.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Bill, and maybe we can do that after we've come up with our recommendations based on the conversation with Nick, which I don't think we're quite ready to do tonight, but maybe at our very next meeting. In fact, actually, this is sufficiently technical that I think it might benefit us to have a working group, just have one short meeting and maybe some email correspondence between now and our next meeting to distill out what new steps or pieces of software or, you know, code or whatever is needed based on the conversation to make the election run smoother. And then that could also be, one of the topics for that conference call of the five membership directors. So are there other thoughts?
We never did, Steve, we never did get to the issues I raised about sending our list in for national change of address to remove all the undeliverable addresses.
Well, that's actually on tonight's agenda. In fact, I moved it up because I thought it was important that we deal with it. So,
right. Does everybody, before we get to just the question, each person at a station was supposed to run this by, according to Bunny.
Yeah, just if you can hold that thought for about 10 minutes, because that's okay. The very next agenda item. So we'll answer your question and all the other questions. In fact, in the meantime, Steve, if you could repost your three motions.
I did.
Oh, good. Okay. Today?
Oh, wait a minute. I reposted what I sent on the...
No. The motion's about cleaning up the membership list from August, I think you sent them last July.
Let's see if I can find it.
Well, if you prefer, I did find them today, so I guess I could just repost them. All right, so back to the next steps with Nick Herlick. Any other thoughts on how to move forward from that conversation?
Carolyn here?
Go ahead.
I would like to really raise the issue of we have no idea of what the contracts with Memphis are like, or whether it's to our advantage to have five separate contracts or one major contract. Do we want to look into that? I don't know if it's so much as a financial issue. I have no idea what the finances of that contract are, but I'm thinking about the ease of making some of these changes. If we're going to recommend changes to the PNB, and then five separate stations have to make five separate decisions as to whether or not to implement the changes, wouldn't it be easier if we had a master contract with subcontracts attached?
Well, if I may call on myself, I actually don't think the separate contracts is the issue, because one of the things I remember Nick saying to us is that when the first elections came in 2004, he had some discussion with people that I don't remember who it was, but it actually doesn't matter who it was. They had a very sound point about needing certain kind of software patch to comply with the bylaws' new definition of membership, the $25 and the time frame, et cetera, all of those technical issues, and that was resolved through some software that was then distributed to all five stations with the instruction to apply this. And there is no evidence that any of them failed to apply that piece of software. So I think within our structure of, you know, having an executive director who supervises the five GMs, that's adequate, and I don't think we need to go, you know, changing contractual arrangements, which haven't shown any problem.
Well, if I may, I remember that conversation as there was no evidence that they had applied it. He just assumed, but he never checked. So we don't know that, and we don't have any way of checking either, because it's five different stations, and we haven't taken that upon ourselves to talk to them about that. So that was my only question. That the kinds of things we're looking at might be system-wide. I'm thinking about making the national election supervisor's life easier.
Well, if I just may, one more comment on that. I agree that needs some supervision, but I don't think a national contract is the answer to that. I think we can just follow up if people agree with this concept of suggesting, and we certainly are not going to be dictating anything to any staff at the system, but suggesting that it might be useful for them to have a conference call that maybe a couple of us from the committee who have more expertise, which would not be myself, but, you know, somebody from the committee might join the call to just be helpful in pointing out procedures that are needed. And then, you know, we might have another call later in the process to kind of see how problems are getting resolved and so on. I think informal mechanisms usually work a lot better in this case than trying to upend a whole system of contracts that's been in existence for years. All right, any other comments? Well, what do people think of forming just a short-term working group to distill out from Nick's comments and our questions any suggestions we have for improving the membership database? Is anyone game for volunteering? I'm not in a position to volunteer.
This is Anthony. How would this be different from the existing cleaning up the membership lists working group?
You know what? That's a really good point. It's really the same function. So if those people would just continue, I understand that group hasn't met in several months. So if
people could
revive themselves, that would be real helpful.
All right, that's good. And we could start with I have some notes, and we can start with Yosha's when we get them.
Yes,
and go from there.
Yes, I'll be happy to forward. Who besides Carolyn is on the cleanup list?
Anthony.
Bill, I think I was too.
Bill? Mm-hmm.
Anthony, Bill, and Carolyn. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Just the three?
Okay, so which of you would convene the meeting? Volunteer.
Well, I'll try again.
Okay,
let's see if
you.
We can get together.
All right, so remember, our next meeting is just 3 weeks from now, so if you can try to meet before then, and I know you got to maneuver around Thanksgiving, but that would be real helpful if you could get us something maybe at least 2 days before the meeting so we have time to study it if it's a motion for, you know, actions we should take. Or, you know, it's possible it could just be a report of ideas that we don't have to officially move as motions. They could just be suggestions or whatever. I mean, that's up to the working group to determine. Yeah. But
so our next meeting is December 1st.
Right.
Okay.
Excuse me, I did send that other email.
Okay, thanks. All right. Now, as to Steve's proposals about the, you know, the what happens if you subscribe at a larger sum and you know, how that affects the term of membership, I think that's complex enough that we should all make sure we really read it carefully and then put it on the agenda for the December 1st meeting. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, we'll do it that way. Okay, well, I think we're at about time on this, unless there's any last comments about next steps with Nick Ehrlich. All right, hearing none, and we'll move on to the next item, which is cleaning up the membership list and Steve's three motions. So, Steve, go ahead. Or if you want to give a background before you introduce the motion.
Well, they're now in everybody's hands, and they're pretty clear, so if they could take, they're not long. There were two emails, one in which I went on at length about the three motions, and why I thought they would work. And I was asked to distill them down into a shorter version, which I did, into three short paragraphs, and I attached the reasons, if anybody was interested, to that same email. So if they can read it, the three short motions, and they can then go forward.
Well, for the benefit of those who don't have computers or those who are listening on the stream, why don't you read them out loud?
Okay. In order to properly clean and maintain Pacifica's database, following is recommended. One, that all of Pacifica's mailing lists be sent out immediately for an NCOA scan.
NCOA, you should just say, stands for.
Okay, then maybe I should have read the longer version. Anyway, for an NCOA scan, that's National Change of Address Register. What that is 48 months worth of addresses kept by the United States Postal Service, and our database would be checked against it. Any all undeliverable addresses would be flagged, and the correct address would be supplied if they had it. In any case, if the correct address were not able to be supplied, we would still have an indication of what it was, and since we have most of the phone numbers on record or emails, we could then contact the person and get the correct mailing address. What this would do would be to eliminate, I'm guessing, 90% or more of all the undeliverable or erroneous addresses that we had, which was the cause of probably 300 to 400 to 1,000 undelivered ballots in the last election for each station. The cost of that is about $4 a thousand, or about $400. For all of Pacifica's 100,000 names. I think that's something that even this financially strapped organization can afford. What would happen is that if we did it now, these corrections, I don't know how many there would be, could be made over a period of time without pressure by whatever staff was available to make them. And by the time the election came around, we could have one more scan, which would eliminate any additional problems, and then send out the election mailing. The election mailing itself would serve as the last corrective. In other words, we would, and I forgot the next part of it, was that on the election mailing envelopes, we print an ancillary service endorsement, return service requested. And there are specs on how to do this, but what would happen is that the incorrectly addressed envelopes will be returned within 6 to 14 days of mailing. This would give us enough time to make the corrections and send out a ballot to each of those people who was entitled to get one who did not, and that would eliminate the many problems we had. The last recommendation was that we use standard mail instead of first-class mail, and that we use a CRE, in other words, they have to put their own stamp on, instead of a BRA for return ballots. Now, without explanation and reasons, these things may not be persuasive or even comprehensible. For example, why use standard mail instead of first-class mail? Because in the past several years, the post office has reorganized its and reclassified its mailing system so that standard class mail is mailed as quickly as first class mail, and putting a BRE inside the election envelope for remailing is a waste of money for the simple reason that anybody who has gone, who intends to vote and has read through all of those many candidate statements is not going to stop because they don't have a stamp. This is something that these people want to do, and I believe, and I've tested this many times in the last 20 years in my own businesses, and when people want to return something, they will. If they don't, putting a stamp in is a waste of money. The other point is that since we only pay the BRE for the ballots that are returned, and they're not going to be many, it adds at best a few hundred dollars to the total cost of the election. It's not a big deal one way or the other. So those are the recommendations. I would suggest that people open up the attachment and read all the reasons if they don't feel like deciding on this motion tonight.
All right. Well, thanks, Steve. Let's start with that question of whether we're prepared to debate and vote on this tonight. Is there anyone that feels, because he has circulated this several months ago, is there anyone who feels like they would still need more time to read the material?
Carolyn, on the staff?
Go ahead.
I'm wondering, there's a PMB motion that requires first-class mail. We're going to have to move to rescind that.
Right.
Carolyn, excuse me. I have to interrupt. We did not use first-class mail last time.
I know, but there's a motion that we do next time. And that motion has to be rescinded, I think.
Right, I agree with Carolyn. But that's just a technicality.
Mm-hmm, not a big deal. I do have one question, if I may.
Go ahead.
If we include return envelopes, these self-addressed stamped envelopes in, and we get charged.
You have to include a reply envelope because it's going to be marked in a certain way.
Right.
I think that the postage should not be postpaid.
Well, is the postage, do we get charged for it if it's not used?
No.
No. So what is the cost then of paying for everyone who returns?
Not a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
It comes, I forgot. I added it all up and I calculated it's in the original mailing, which is attached. I don't know
right.
the biggest myself.
Okay.
I would have to look at the mailing.
Well,
because I know I always respond to, please use your own stamp and save us the money. And our listeners do a lot, too.
Steve, do you have a recollection of how much per envelope they charge, they typically charge for a business reply envelope?
It's the cost of postage plus another fee on top of that. It may come out to twice as much.
Oh, the full first-class rate?
Full first-class rate plus some other handling fee. I honestly don't remember. I did the calculation, and it's in the attachment, and I would have to look at it again myself.
All right. Well, so I didn't hear. Let me ask one more time. Is there anyone who would object for us to go ahead and debate and vote on these three motions tonight? Okay. Hearing none, then let's take them one at a time and try to stay focused on each one and not kind of go back and forth. Okay, so the first one is that all Pacifica's mailing lists be sent out immediately for a national change of address scan, after which the indicated correction should be made to each station's database under the supervision of its subscription manager I think we'd have to put in a phrase like or equivalent position, because they have different stations use different titles. But
let me add one more thing. For
yeah.
Again, the cost for this is about $4 a thousand. The total cost for the foundation would be $400 for 100,000 names.
Right. That's actually in the motion, which is helpful,
right.
So people don't
even
get upset about it, about high costs or anything.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then it says scans should be repeated regularly thereafter every 6 months as a prophylactic measure. So, discussion, questions on that motion?
I have a comment.
Go ahead. Is that Bonnie?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, something's been kind of bugging me about this, and I finally sort of put my finger on it. I am not comfortable with us making a decision to go ahead and do this, cutting out discussing this with the stations and with the database operators or subscription managers or whoever is involved in it. I think there are a couple of issues. One is that I have sort of an overriding feeling that lots of times in governance, we continue to cut out talking to the station and the people that actually do the work at these radio stations that involve these different topics, and I would really like to hear what they have to say. I know that we had thought to informally go talk to our subscription managers about some of these things over the last few months, and I suspect, at least in the case of myself, I apologize for not getting with Chris Delek, our subscription person, but I'm sort of uncomfortable with it. I would rather that it come through a little bit more officially to them and that they have all of the materials that we've been passing back and forth so that they can give us their input on this. The second thing that I'm uncomfortable with is the particularly right now in an atmosphere where everybody is making cutbacks and we're all trying to learn how to work with less people and less hours in a lot of our departments at the radio stations, I don't think you can simply say, and when it comes back, the subscription manager can figure out how to deal with it. I don't think that's our place to be doing that, and I don't think it screams cooperation here to go about it that way. So the most I would be willing to do is opt for us to go through, through the IED to ask the general managers to pass on some materials and have the general managers talk to their subscription manager or whomever they feel would be the right people. I'd at least like to get their hit on this before we go ahead and pass down motions to them.
Okay, Bill. Let me just ask a clarifying question of Bonnie. So your motion, if you could write a motion, that would help. But so the gist of it is to pass the material to the IED, to pass to the GMs and discuss with whoever is the relevant person.
I know it sounds a little cumbersome, but I think that's really the way that we should be going about this.
Right. No, but my question is what's the next step? So it's circulated, it's discussed.
I'm asking is for them to consider these possibilities. I think we're going to get slightly different answers because I think that each of the stations may be in a slightly different position. In the case of KPFA, we're very lucky to have a really good subscription department, and I think we may be having less problems with some of this than some of the other stations may be having.
Okay. All I'm asking is what would happen after they give their feedback.
They give our feedback to us,
right?
Which we would then use in our. I guess that we then use it as our education before we go ahead and say. I mean, it may come back to us that everybody thinks it's a great idea,
uh-huh.
But I would like to hear if there are problems. I'd like to hear, I'm a person who sits and uses databases all day long, but I don't know anything about our system and what goes into the work that they do. I would like to hear from those that are on the ground doing this work what their impression of this is. They may come back and say it sounds like a great idea.
Okay. I heard Bill. Well, let me call on Bill, and then I'll call on you, Steve, because Bill has to speak.
Okay, well, that was a good concern. I did talk to our membership person back in July or August or whenever we had discussed this, and Steve sent it out. I gave her a copy of what Steve had emailed to us. She didn't know about NCOA scans, but she said it sounded like a good idea. And she says they spend a lot of time all year round trying to, you know, make corrections to the database. And, of course, she didn't know what format the NCOA scan would come back in, but she seemed to be glad to get any corrections she could get. So I would suggest that all we're going to be having to do is all we're going to do is recommend to the PNB anyway. We could recommend that this be that where we could pass this, and then the next week each of us could check with our membership person at our stations, and if there's any problems, we could let our PNB representatives know before the PNB acts on this. But I don't think there'll be any problems. I think it's a good idea.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah, Bonnie. Your suggestion was a very good one when it was made 4 or 5 months ago. And in that time, this was supposed to be passed around to the station. I myself did not think that it was necessary, but certainly your concern was justified. However, we've now wasted all those months, and we haven't gotten any further on this thing. One of the problems with any organization, and with Pacific in particular, is that nothing ever gets done. It just keeps dwindling away. Now, we have, at least at WDAI, $150,000 in lawsuits on both sides, simply around the issue of people not getting their ballots. And that's solely due, unless you think of some conspiracy, solely due to undeliverable packages due to errors in the database. And I would, and I know there was problems in KPFK around the same issue. I don't know if it costs any money. My suggestion is that no one can possibly have an objection to doing the scan, and we should do it immediately. What happens to it afterwards, that's certainly up to the stations. And what, and the reason it says let the subscription manager figure it out is because of your objection. There's no question that if we know of an error in a name in the database, we must correct it. So we will simply have those scans done and present each scan to each station. And if they say, we don't care that we have errors, God bless you. If they say, thank you, we'll fix it, that's good too. But there should be no possible reason for not going ahead with these scans since they cost virtually nothing, $80 a station. And then present those corrections and let the stations decide whether they want to make them or not or face more lawsuits in the next election.
Okay. This is Anthony. I have a couple of just informational questions.
Go ahead.
I assume that this service is done by the Postal Service. So.
Whichever, yeah, one of those services, but it's a government task. And it will be performed under Obama's regime, not the Bush.
I wasn't thinking that conspiratorially. I just wondered who. So, if each station would send its list to its nearby.
No. It goes this way. Any mailing house, mine, yours, the station's, will do this for $4, $1,000, or what you find.
Oh.
You send it to them, they take care of it. They actually do the job, they arrange to. I mean, they have access to the NCOA database, and they have programs that are coordinated with it. They run it through, and they send you back your original list with everything flagged in a format that's handleable, a standard format that everybody uses. And then you see what there is.
And my second question is, do we know if some of the stations are already doing this?
I have no idea. I doubt it, but they should.
That's a good question about the consultation, which we did ask. We did ask people if they could do over the last several months. So I'll start with myself. I did speak to our general manager, Tony Riddle, and he wasn't, of course, familiar with all the details of this, but I sent him the material, and he had no major objection. He was just concerned with the question of where he would get where the station would get the people power to input all the corrections and make the phone calls or send the emails to those addresses that come back from the scan as undeliverable, no forwarding address.
You have to do it anyway.
Right, right.
Your alternative is not doing it.
Right, right. So, I mean, so he's not opposed to it. He's just kind of concerned about figuring out the time and people power. But, you know, he said he could live with it. So has anyone else on this call spoken to any staff at their station about this?
Yeah.
By the way,
yes.
Bob, excuse me, one of the reasons I suggested doing it now is that it would give us a lot of time to make those corrections. So it wouldn't be a matter of one person working 50 hours a day over a two-week period. It'll be over a several-month period.
Okay. Go ahead, Yosh.
Yes. I think most of you know that I did speak with Terry Guy several months ago, and Terry's main concern was that APFK's mailing list in the past has been, well, I guess I won't use bad words here, but let's just say he felt that they may have been misused by Pacifica by either reselling or by use for Pacifica's own fundraising efforts. And so his main concern was losing control or giving up that list. He's perfectly fine with running the NCOA himself and cleaning it up in-house. And I would support
okay.
that.
And so sure. So let's see. We've heard from KPFT, KPFK, WBAI. Is there anyone from WPFW on the call yet? No. Okay, Bonnie, go ahead.
So I guess I misunderstood it, and I'm glad that Anthony brought it up. And now Yosha said something. So it's possible for the station, the subscription manager, to do this himself or herself rather than going to a mailing house? Is that true?
Steve, do you want to answer that? Steve Brown, are you on the call? Well, he may have been knocked off. I would just judge from what Steve was saying that this is a function performed by mailing houses. So,
right.
Unless you have the kind of staff to sit and run a sounds like a special program to compare the master database of all addresses in the U.S. with your membership, then doesn't sound like something that could be done in-house. That's what the $4 is for.
Right.
Is to run that comparison.
All right.
But it could be done. I don't see why it has to be done centrally by National Pacifica. It could be done by each station with its own mailing house.
Right. That's where I was kind of going. Is I think there would be some sensitivity, and once again, I have no expertise in this, and I don't know what the sensitivities might be, but I know there are always concerns about safeguarding our mailing lists,
right.
And we might want to come up with the proper direction as to how we're suggesting that this be done. I don't know whether it's using the mail houses that we've used for elections before or our own that we may use for different mailings that the station does. I simply, it's not my field, so I'm sort of stumbling here. But I do think that the stations will have some concerns around that. And we have to at least give them kind of the outline of how it can be done rather than just a motion that's going to go that says mailing list to be sent out immediately for an NCOA scan. I mean, I'm just Googling NCOA scan, and I'm not finding a lot. And did Steve disappear?
Steve, are you back? Steve Brown? I guess not. Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this? All right. Well, since Steve is not here, maybe we should put this on hold for a few minutes and return to it. And I'm not sure if it really makes sense to do the second one without him either, because that's also some somewhat arcane question about the ancillary service endorsement on each ballot envelope. So perhaps we should just go to number three, an issue we can all understand. We don't need any expertise to know. And Steve explained to us now about standard class versus first class, that standard class is not actually slower. So, again, the motion reads that standard class mail be used for the next election instead of first class mail, and that a CRE, which we should ask him when he comes back what that stands for, instead of a BRE, which I know is a business reply envelope, be enclosed for return of ballots. So they're really two separate proposals. So the floor is open on either aspect of his motion number three.
This is Bonnie.
Go ahead.
I don't think I have objection to either of parts of it.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, I'll just chime in and say I don't have objections either. In fact, I would actually consider strengthening it instead of used for the next election to be used in future elections. And that way the board doesn't have to revisit this unless there's some kind of serious problem, unexpected problem that emerges with using standard class mail. So it would just be a standing policy to use that. Any comments on that? Go ahead, Bill.
Are we talking about proposal two and three?
No, right now just number three.
Three. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have any comment, Bill?
I had a comment on two.
Yeah. Okay, we're not on that right now. Anyone else about the what type of mail to send?
No, but it's a related issue, and that's a question of the prior amendment and whether, I mean, the prior motion and whether that needs to be amended or modified.
Yeah, what I was thinking was we'll maybe give another 5 minutes for Steve to come back, and if not, I think it might
be... Sorry, are you waiting for me?
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Yeah, I had an emergency phone call.
No, that's fine. All right. Well, if it's not too jumpy, why don't we go back to motion number one? Let's see. Bonnie, do you want to kind of very briefly summarize your last point?
My last point. What was my last point, Bob?
Well, it had something to do with that.
I know what it is.
Yeah, go ahead.
These NCOA scans, I had thought you said these were done by the post office, but
they were done
then just a minute ago you said that they were done by mailing houses.
I'm sorry if I was not clear. The mailing house has all the mailing houses have, by and large, the same program that uses the United States Post Office's NCOA, the Official National Change of Address Register, and they run it. They run it by that list, and all the undeliverables are flagged. It's actually done by the mailing house, and so I just got a price from my mailing house, and he said it's the same for all mailing houses. So we can use the one that Pacifica used before. We can use any mailing house in the country. It doesn't matter.
And this is Anthony. If the charge is per 1,000, then presumably each station could use its neighborhood mailing house, and it wouldn't cost any more because it would add up to the same.
Yeah, but why would we want to do it individually instead of sending all the Pacifica lists out?
Why wouldn't
they? In case stations have concerns about autonomy.
Well, that wouldn't. I don't see how that would impinge on their autonomy. What we would have the advantage of doing, by the way, is simultaneously we could ask the mail house to flag all the duplicates because we have a number of duplicates. People who are getting ballots from more than one station. I myself get ballots from two or three, and that's an issue in the bylaws and in general. So there are a lot of reasons for doing it all at once. It's cleaner, but theoretically, yeah, every station could do it on their own if they want. But Pacifica insists on making its mailing all at once from one mailing house for all the stations to the election.
Oh.
So I think that it should be done that way. Probably it would be advisable to have the same mailing house that's going to handle our election mailing do it, handle everything. Just a suggestion. The less things have to be moved around, the fewer mistakes are made, and the less problems we have. I just found that the case.
Steve, I have a related question. Is there any difference in the postage rates if a ballot mailing is made from one city, like say Berkeley, to all five signal areas, versus if it's mailed from each signal area locally? Does that affect costs in any way?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't swear. As I said, I'm using my old information. I've been out of this field for a while, but it's not arcane information. I don't think there's any difference. But the only difference isn't time. It will take an extra day or two,
right,
to get to, you know, across the country. The other issue is that the rate, here's the difference in price. It's broken down according to sorting, to postal routes. If you mail out something from, and it's all going to one area code, it's one rate. If it's going to different area codes, it's a different rate. The more zip codes you have, the higher the rate. Or maybe zip codes are bundled within a certain area. I'm not sure how it works. So we only have five zip codes. The most economical way would be to do all the sorting, and it may very well be if the mailing house does it, do all the sorting at one place, then it's bagged, and each zip code stuff is shipped to the distributing center for that area. I mean, we used to do that with our mail when I had my various companies. But that, for that, you would seek the advice of your mailing house. It's these regulations change all the time, and it's not anything that nobody knows, except I don't happen to be up on the latest information. So your mailing house does know it all, whichever the mailing house is going to be, and they should be able to advise you on the best way to do it. But that's just technical stuff.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry for diverting from the point here. So does anyone have language to amend number one along some of the concerns of Bonnie and others? Because if not, I have some suggestions. But anyone else? Okay, so tell me how this sounds. What if the language be tweaked as follows? In order to properly clean and maintain Pacifica's database, the election committee recommends to the BNB the adoption of the following motions. Number one, right now I'm just talking about number one. It is recommended. So it would no longer be an absolute requirement. It is recommended that all of Pacifica's mailing lists be sent out. And rather than the word immediately, I would change it to as soon as possible for an NCOI scan, after which the indicated corrections should be made to each station's database under the supervision of its subscription manager or relevant.
Functionally equivalent.
Or functionally equivalent, yeah. Then leave the sentence as is about the cost. It's approximately $4 per thousand, or around 400 for Pacifica's 100,000 names. And then the last sentence would just add a similar phrase. It is further recommended that this procedure should be repeated regularly thereafter every 6 months as a prophylactic measure. So let me ask Bonnie first, since you raised the concerns. Would that satisfy?
I'm so sorry, but can you say it again?
The whole thing?
I'm sorry.
All right. It is recommended that all of Pacifica's mailing lists be sent out as soon as possible. Actually, you know what? We don't mean all of Pacifica's mailing lists, because the national office has an independent mailing list, and we're not talking about that.
And they also have donor lists.
Right. So all of the five Pacifica, all five of the
election lists.
Let's see. Of the Pacifica,
station membership list?
Station,
membership list.
Right. Station listener membership list. No, it's listener and staff. Right. Listener and staff membership list. Okay. Be sent out as soon as possible for an NCOA scan, after which the indicated corrections should be made to each station's database under the supervision of its subscription manager or functional equivalent. I would also add in there as soon as reasonably possible. So we're not implying that they have to instantly make the corrections the week after they get back the data. And then the sentence about the cost would just stay the way it was originally. And then finally, it is further recommended that this procedure should be repeated regularly thereafter. I would insert the word approximately every 6 months as a prophylactic.